Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. It's good to be back in the saddle after taking a two-week break from YouTube. If you go to my website, godandcountryradio.org, you can get the two radio programs I did over the Christmas break about the kingdom of God. YouTube's actually take me much longer to do than the radio program because I have to work with slides and video inserts and video editing. Just editing audio is quite simple. Now, some imagine that I have people in my church do the editing work, but that's not something I can hand off to others. I have to select what gets included and what gets erased. I know what needs to be changed around, and it's faster for me to do it than to enlist others. Anyway, that's why if I have a busy week, it's impossible for me to put out a YouTube. Now, you may be noticing I've inherited a new keyboard in my office, made in the USA, a Royal typewriter from the 1940s, made in New York State. My parents were pack rats, and my sister was going through some of the junk and found their old typewriter. I remember typing a paper on that typewriter when I was in seventh grade. It was a major undertaking, a lot of backspacing and erasing. And I had to add it to my office because it's such a good reminder of how blessed we are with computers and word processing. God has just given us so many more tools to spread the word in these last days. Now, as far as this week's topic, a couple of weeks before Christmas, Congress was compelled to pass another continuing resolution to fund the federal government and to avert another government shutdown. The point is for Congress to authorize the borrowing of more money to fund the government. There's a lot of confusion and plenty of misleading articles and commentators referring to the government borrowing money. The government is not borrowing money to fund $36 trillion. The federal government is having the Federal Reserve print the money, and then the federal government sends the Federal Reserve an IOU, which the federal government never plans to pay back. The objective is to pay for government salaries and grants and entitlements by simply printing the money and increasing the money supply. And the inflation that ensues is a tax on the American people. Rather than taxing everyone's savings, the federal government devaluates everyone's savings by 20% or so, and that's what pays for government overspending. It's a way to tax the people without actually collecting taxes. The ancient Roman Empire, in its bankruptcy, did this by devaluing the coinage, by reducing the amount of copper, silver, or gold in the coin, yet keeping the same face value. Now, back in June of 2023, Congress voted to raise the debt ceiling to $31.4 trillion and suspend the ceiling until January 1st of 2025. And since that day is now upon Congress, Congress once again had to raise the ceiling. U.S. Current debt is $36.3 trillion. So in a year and a half, the federal government has borrowed $5 trillion. You say, wait a minute. I thought back in June of 2023, the debt ceiling was raised to only $31.4 trillion. It was. But the debt ceiling was also suspended until January of 2025. So the government could spend as much as it wanted under the Biden administration until the end of the Biden administration. Now, Elon Musk and Donald Trump have been saying that the debt ceiling should be permanently suspended so that Congress doesn't have to keep going through this crisis of raising the debt ceiling. But that would be a terrible policy. Without having to authorize debt, politicians in Washington would have no brakes on spending. But that's a whole other subject for another video. Now, the reason the government is spending so much is that the Biden administration has been lavishing money on government programs and departments along with three huge spending bills. The $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, passed as soon as Biden took office in March of 2021. The $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill in the fall of 2021. And then the $700 billion Inflation Reduction Act in October of 2022, which was really the Green New Deal. And in addition to this, all of the lavish funding on every department of government. By the way, the Inflation Reduction Act was to cost $700 billion. But the actual cost is somewhere between $1.5 and $3 trillion because the bill mandates continual subsidies and programs. The original cost of the bill was only an estimate of how much money would be spent on these mandates. But it's coming in at double and triple of what was estimated. Now, currently, the government brings in about $4 trillion in revenue, but it spends $6 trillion. Ever since COVID, the government has increased spending $2 trillion a year. If the federal government would just return spending to the 2019 level of $4 trillion per year, the budget would be balanced. And this is why Musk and Trump, under Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, plan to cut $2 trillion a year from government spending to get back to the 2019 level to balance the budget. We shouldn't have to be borrowing every year. It just creates inflation. But politicians don't want to do that. Once they were able to spend $6 trillion a year, they have no desire to cut the flow of extra grants and salaries to their constituents. In the words of Ronald Reagan, the closest thing on earth to eternal life is a government program. Now, as far as examples of waste, an audit in December revealed that the Federal Department of Education spent over $1 billion for DEI programs in schools. And the Department of Justice also spent $100 million for DEI programs in school. Why? To help the students grow up to be better people? This is their justification. This is their religion. They believe by teaching people to accept diversity and equality and inclusion, that will make for a happier, more just, more crime-free society. But as I've mentioned often, the philosophy of diversity, equity, and inclusion teaches a moral equivalency for all behaviors. And it's really the basis for immorality. And financially, it doesn't take but 5 minutes to tell students to accept diversity and to treat people equally and to include others. Teachers could do this as part of their regular teaching without a dime being spent. For example, if the government wanted to have teachers teach Jesus's golden rule, it certainly wouldn't take $1 billion. Well, first, it's more than about just teaching DEI. It's a whole course in cultural Marxism that Western values have oppressed people and everything is about power structures that need to be dismantled. It's not enough for cultural Marxism to be taught in the colleges because not everyone goes to college. The left wants the foundations of Marxism really taught in elementary school and public high schools. Additionally, it costs $1 billion because it's all about paying the salaries and paying grants to lazy leftist ideologue intellectuals who live in ivory towers. You know, it used to be that if you were to receive a government check, a government grant, you actually had to make something for the government. Build a park, build a building, clean up a toxic waste site. But now lazy intellectuals have convinced politicians to give them money just to type up some lesson plans and to promote an ideology. It's an easy gig. Do we see what's going on here? It's graft. It's theft. It's economic corruption. Government overspending over the last 2 years has been more than what the United States spent on World War II, even in today's dollars. And much of it has been spent on graft for leftist ideologues so they can have well-paying jobs for doing just about nothing. It's really bad. Now, I was just looking the other day at a plan Mexico has for building a 62-mile canal across Mexico to be an alternative to the Panama Canal. It would cost about $300 billion, and Mexico really can't afford it right now, so they put it off. But the recent budget resolution just passed by Congress last week includes not only covering current governmental expenses, but an additional $300 billion in new spending. With that money, we could build a whole new Panama Canal across Mexico. Now, when the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, first put forth the bill, it was 1,500 pages. It was not simply a bill to increase the debt ceiling, but bureaucratic agencies have worked for months to craft this bill in order to add new programs and additional spending. What's in the bill? Well, the legislation includes $110 billion in disaster aid, $29 billion more for FEMA and disaster relief funds, $8 billion for federal highways, $12 billion for community development block grants and disaster relief, $3.25 billion for tribal assistance grants, also $21 billion in disaster relief for farmers, and $10 billion in economic assistance for farmers, funds to rebuild the Baltimore Bridge, pay raises for members of Congress, increased funding for the Secret Service. They messed up, so they get more money. Then there are all sorts of smaller funding and new laws, a provision that allows Congress to opt out of Obamacare, laws concerning concert ticket pricing, new recycling laws, a feral swine eradication program, a continuation of the Wool Trust Fund, whatever that is, also paying juvenile delinquents to get their driver's license, a law that homeless adults and children can no longer be referred to as homeless, extending a sheep marketing grant program, and the list goes on and on. When Mike Johnson put forth this bill, the more conservative members of Congress completely rejected it, along with the president and Elon Musk and Vivek and the Department of Government Efficiency. Mike Johnson was simply operating on business as usual, trying to get a bill passed to keep the government going until President Trump took over. What Johnson didn't realize is that the political climate had changed. Conservative Republicans now had political clout to reject the pork. So because Mike Johnson put forth this bill, conservatives wanted him removed as being Speaker of the House because apparently he wasn't in tune with the new political reality. The goal is to put an end to financial corruption. So last week, Mike Johnson also almost lost the speakership, but he was narrowly voted back in, but he learned his lesson. He promised as Speaker of the House to first work with Trump and Musk and Vivek and the Department of Government Efficiency to implement spending reforms. Second, to audit the spending of government agencies. And third, to expose irresponsible or illegal practices and hold agencies and individuals accountable that have weaponized government agencies against the American people. Quote from Johnson when he spoke after his renewed leadership, the Arab Speaker of the House. Let's look at that clip.
We have to apply common sense. We have to stop the attacks on liquefied natural gas, pass legislation to eliminate the Green New Deal, that funding. We're going to expedite new drilling permits. We're going to save the jobs of our auto manufacturers, and we're going to do that by ending the ridiculous EV mandates. And as heirs to the American Revolution and the descendants of patriots who defied tyranny, in the coming months, we are going to pass legislation to roll back the totalitarian fourth branch of government known as the administrative state. We're going to drastically cut back the size and scope of government. We're going to return the power back to the people. And in coordination with President Trump and his administration, we are going to create a leaner, faster, and more efficient federal workforce. We need to do that. Our people do not deserve to be ruled by millions of bureaucrats they've never voted for, never met, and can never hold accountable. They deserve a government that is led by those they've elected to lead. That is how Article I is supposed to work. That was the idea of the Congress, and we will return to that principle. The American people have called on us to reject business as usual and throw out the status quo. We must and we will heed their call.
So basically, Mike Johnson is going to work to pass legislation to shut down unnecessary federal bureaucracies. And that's good news. Johnson is a God-fearing man. If it weren't for principled, God-based politicians, America would collapse financially and morally. It does take Christians to be the salt of the earth. So that's the news. But what does it all mean? Well, it's a reminder that there is lawlessness in our land, economic lawlessness in America. In the last days, lawlessness will abound. Matthew 24:12. Just like there is sexual immorality, there is also economic and financial immorality. In fact, if there is lawlessness in sexual immorality in our country, there will also be lawlessness in economics. Because the same principles apply. If there are no sexual rules and everything is relative sexually, the same people will not believe in economic rules. Everything in economics is also relative. It can be bent to suit whatever people want. And if the basis for sexual ethics is the gain of pleasure, the basis for financial ethics also becomes personal gain. And this is what we see in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, which speaks about men of depraved minds and those who are deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Now, this verse sounds very religious, as if it's referring to religious hucksters and the prosperity gospel, and it certainly does apply, but the meaning is much broader. These men of depraved mind suppose that what is good is gain. The word God, theos, is not in the Greek word here for godliness. It's really referring to ethical norms. And what the text is saying is that depraved people determine what is right and wrong based upon what gives them gain. So if printing money to pay for useless, bloated, bureaucratic jobs pays the bills and gives them an easy life, then it must be right. It must be ethical. It must be justice because they base justice upon their gain. Godliness, ethics are determined by what advances them, by what lines their pockets. And this is why only a God-centered Christian citizenship will be fiscally responsible. Because right and wrong for Christians is not determined by what I can gain, but by the higher law of God. Psalm chapter 15, the righteous man does what's right, even to his own hurt. There is such a thing as unjust gain, illegitimate income, getting paid for non-work or useless work, and only God-fearing individuals reject unjust gain. But the unprincipled, the unsaved, those of depraved minds, they take it. They assume that if someone's willing to pay them, and if they can get their hands on it, then it must be okay, because what is right is based upon their own personal gain. Such as cheating an election must be okay if it means I win the election, or lying must be okay if it helps to protect my image or further my cause or keep me funded. So just as there's rampant immorality in our country, the same people are promoting financial corruption. And they're justifying the financial corruption using the same arguments that they use to justify sexual immorality. That this is compassion. That this is helping others. That this is equality. That this is personal empowerment. That this is fairness. And those things come above any external law of nature or nature's God, sexual or financial. So what we have is basically the same greed that arose in ancient Israel before judgment fell upon that nation. The same greed that the prophet spoke against. Consider the following passages. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10. Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to new owners, because from the least, even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet, even to the priest, everyone practices deceit. Notice the punishment is that these people lose their land. Also, Jeremiah 22, 17. But your eyes and your heart are intent only upon your own dishonest gain, on shedding innocent blood and on practicing oppression and extortion. And Isaiah 56, 11, and the dogs are greedy, they're not satisfied. And they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. The shepherds are referring to the political leaders. And the Old Testament prophet spoke out just as much against financial lawlessness as sexual lawlessness. And the prophets also spoke out against idolatry, because it was false beliefs about God that were responsible for the change of ethics and morals. Just like today, atheism and paganism is behind the current day lawlessness. And just like in ancient Israel, the main culprit in the greed was the government, not the workers and their businesses. People on the left try to make you think that the greed is the corporations. But the corporations cannot force you to buy their products. If they charge too much, there's always someone who will undercut their price, but governments have monopolies. And the dealing falsely and the unjust gain and the deceit of the federal government is in violating God's laws concerning just and equal weights. Deuteronomy chapter 25. You shall not have in your bag different weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house different measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Also, Amos chapter 8, verse 5, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales. You see, it's a sin against God to print money and devaluate the currency, rather than raising money through taxation, inflation and printing money. It's deceit, it's unjust gain, and a Christian nation, a Christian people, would never do that. There would be respect for what people have earned and for their savings, and the value of the dollar would not be stolen from them. The other day, my sister pointed out on Zillow the house that I grew up in New Milford, New Jersey. It was valued at $670,000, and the property tax is $19,000 a year. My father bought that house in the 1960s for $8,000. About a year and a half of salary at that time, just his one income as a bookkeeper. Today, young families can't afford such a basic house. And it's not because it's just relative. The price increase is actually a hidden tax caused by the Federal Reserve policy and government money printing. So again, what does this all mean for Christians? I mean, why should we even care? We're not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth. What if the world in its corruption just taxes people to support a bureaucratic leisure class? Why should we care? Well, the prophets of old spoke against the financial corruption of the nation. Jesus spoke against the financial corruption of the Jewish leadership, how they laid heavy burdens upon men's shoulders. The apostles spoke against the greed of the unsaved, Ephesians chapter 4, describing man's fallen condition as practicing every kind of impurity with greediness. We certainly need to address this corruption because we need to show people their transgressions so they will realize that they're sinners in need of repentance. That's Isaiah chapter 58, show my people their transgressions. And we're also to address this corruption in order to relieve the oppressed and to break every yoke. That's Isaiah 58, 6. And we're to pray that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, that there would be justice in the land. But in all this, as Christians, we need to keep our focus on the gospel and the real justice that people need. The financial corruption in the world is always going to be there. We just need to use it to illustrate the fact that the world is corrupt and passing away. Yes, we need to strive for financial justice in this world to make for fairness and to make life a little easier down here. But the only final complete solution is the eternal life in Christ and being a citizen of the coming kingdom of Christ. This is what Jesus was referring to in his fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus goes to the temple and he reads Isaiah 61. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And Jesus wasn't speaking about relieving the people of Roman oppression, but saving them from Satan and their own sin, of which the Roman taxation was just one sign of man's deeper spiritual corruption. Now, in this world, even the unsaved hate corruption and freeloaders. So in the providence of God, God has raised up conservative leadership in Washington that plans to drain the swamp, to cut off the water supply to the swamp, to cut off the money. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror for the workers of iniquity. They don't want economic justice. They don't want law. They don't want responsibility and accountability. And they're terrified over what a conservative Congress and administration might do. The leisure bureaucratic class might have to get a job in the private sector. And nobody's going to pay them to pontificate about DEI or just to hand out grants to applicants. They might have to do some real Genesis chapter 3 work by the sweat of their brow. When Elon Musk took over Twitter, he cut 80% of the employees, from 8,000 employees down to 1,500 employees. All the work still got done because all of the Twitter employees hired under Jack Dorsey were socializing on the job. It was one big casual party. Twitter is simply a computer program. It works all by itself. There was never a need for 8,000 employees. And the same is probably true for for much of the federal government. Most of the employees and their services are really not needed. And if they disappear, Americans will do just fine. You remember the Department of Education really doesn't teach a single student. Well, in the months ahead, I plan to cover their terror and their complaints when these cuts begin. But for now, I just want to emphasize the financial corruption. That through this knowledge of sin, we need to point people to Christ and his salvation and his kingdom. So stand fast in the word of God, contend for the faith, and may Jesus Christ reign.